that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel,
that old wheel,
it's gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Here we are, Saturday morning, April 12th, almost halfway through Saturday, or through... Yeah, not quite through Saturday, but almost through April. Better take some more coffee. And we say good morning, and good morning to the men on the line. I know we've got Tim there. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Richard. Good morning, everyone. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we sure appreciate you being here. And I think, did we get John on yet this morning?
Yep.
Good morning,
good
John.
Morning.
And,
good morning, John.
And I think Jason had some stuff he was trying to take care of this early morning. And but Tim, we appreciate you sitting in and helping us out here. And Tim, would you open us up in prayer, and then we'll kind of go from there.
Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, and we thank you first off for another opportunity to serve you, Lord, for another day, for us to see the glories of your power, Lord. And we just pray that you'd make it a great day, Lord, that you would redeem your people and protect your people, and that you would cover us with your hand, Lord, that you'd make this morning's get-together here a blessing to your people. Lord, we pray that you'd make it a blessing to us. We pray that you would put words in our mouth and guide our thoughts, make our conversation honoring to you, and we say, come now, Lord Jesus, and be part of this conversation, and make our business your business, Lord. Make it right and make it straight. We ask that you would prosper us and the work of our hands and the work of your people as we seek to do your will, Lord. Make it honorable. Make our minds open to your spirit and to the desires of what you seek to accomplish, Lord. We ask now. I pray a blessing upon each and every one, and upon this radio station, upon this ministry, and upon these men, Lord, as they seek to bring the truth out and to be honoring to you. We just ask a hedge of protection around each and every one of your people, Lord, that you've called and chosen, and those that are yet to come. make the way bright. Put your lamp before the path on, so that their feet might trot upon that path with speed. And we just thank you for all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And with that, this is how Coffee with the Wranglers works. We've got our Bibles, we've got our coffee, and know where it goes from here, who knows. So, John, didn't know if you had something you wanted to start out with this morning, or Tim, either one.
I don't know, probably one of the biggest stories going around seems to be that standoff there in Nevada.
Yes.
There's a lot going on up there, isn't there?
Yeah.
I haven't... Has anybody... I heard that the mainstream news is basically pretty mum on it. Like, 5-10 second blurb here or there, that's about it. I don't know that, but... for the amount of resources they've got going in there, that's pretty quiet.
Right.
So,
yeah, the only thing I've seen on it has been a little bit on Fox News. But that's all I've seen.
Yeah, a little bit on Fox.
So, well, they've got, I've kind of been following it, you know, non-mainstream, and of course, you know, they're talking about this tortoise and everything, but they're out there running helicopters and trucks and rented cowboys and BLM agents all over the place. That can't be good for the turtles, so I don't think they're too worried about their tortoise, what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So,
I can't imagine trying to round up cows with helicopters.
No.
Probably why they only got 246 of them rounded up in the last week.
Yeah. Well, and I guess they're burying them now, a lot of them. They've stressed them to the point that they're dropping dead. So...
No, I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah,
yeah, it's hot down there too. You know, I got a friend that's I know in southern Arizona and places they've already been hitting 100 degrees, and this Nevada's a little further north where they're at, but it's still you get you know, you can't push cattle like that. You can push horses
a
little bit.
Especially
if you're
pushing them away from their water source.
Yeah. And, you know, they're out there. Right now, it's springtime. So guess what those calves have just done? Those cows have just, you know, dropped their calves. They've just had calves. And, you know, that's not a time to be stressing the cow or the calf. Saw one video. Nope. They had a BLM standoff with the armed, tasered, and dogged up BLMs. And that was the question the people were asking them. And, of course, the good dog soldiers, BLM dog soldiers, aren't going to answer them. But they said, what are the big backhoes for? What are the backhoes for? And it's because they're burying these cows that are dying. And, it's not a good situation.
Or shooting them and burying them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One or the other.
If they can't catch them. Because wannabe cowboys out there.
Yeah, I heard that they were trying to... one thing I did find interesting is they're trying to sell those cows. Of course, I don't really know. What are we talking about? $500,000-$600,000 worth of cows, at least according to the numbers they're talking about.
Yeah, Tim, it's the
cattle cows.
The cattle market is good right now. You know, I've seen...
fixing to be better when they kill 900 of cows.
Yeah. You know, I bred cows, sometimes $3,500, you know, or a cow and a calf pair. You know, $2,000, $2,500, $3,000. It's insane right now. And so at $2,000, you're talking a huge amount of cattle. But if they're killing them or they're running them and stressing them, you know, when that cow dies out on the field, it's not worth anything. It's just buzzard bait.
Yeah.
Well, and I know they're not able to sell them, at least from what I'm hearing, because of the brand inspection laws and stuff. And, if Mr. Bundy won't sign, you know, the certificates, which obviously he won't, why they can't run them through the sale barn. So,
apparently there's none in that Nevada area, so they'd have to take them to Utah. So, getting it across the state line, even the governor, I guess, of Utah said, "No, you're not bringing those cattle here without the proper paperwork." Well, you know, it's a report, but who knows? Supposedly, BLM paid some. I don't know, some brokerage house there in Utah, $300,000 to run these the cows that they bring there through the sale without the proper brand inspections.
So you really
about right for the government. Just bribe whoever they need to.
Yeah.
Just pay them off. That'll get it done. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So they're going to spend $3 million to move 900 cows or whatever is what they estimate this thing is going to cost.
That's yeah, so it's pretty obvious to anybody who thinks about it that it's probably not about the land or the cattle. There's got to be an underlying, reasoning behind that.
Apparently, Mr. Bundy has water rights that have been in the family for years. Vegas is only 75 miles from there, and they're hurting for water right now, from what I hear.
Yeah.
I've also seen a thing that
I got to remember.
Well, go ahead, John.
Dingy Harry's from there, too.
Who's from there, John?
Dingy Harry. Harry Reid.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yes. Yeah. Rusty Harry Reid. Yeah. I heard something about another thing I read on another angle. There's a whole bunch of angles on this that, and I don't have any way to verify them, but that was another thing is Reed's son is supposedly involved in some big solar farm situation, and of course with the Chinese and the target area on that solar farm is right on that ground right now where all that's going on, so that's where they want to put that in. So that'll help the tortoises.
There was a note on I forget the guy's name, but he puts out Natural News, and he had a note on there about there's oil in them there hills. And that they've done several exploratory, oil drilling, oil wells exploratory in that area. They call it the Virgin Mountains, and the Virgin River and the Virgin Valley is the name of that. And then right next to it is the Mormon Hills. And as you said, Tim, this man, him and his family have been there for about 140 years. And they kind of do predate the BLM. And it's interesting that... he's had the land on there, and the only thing that's changed, or he's had the cattle on there basically forever, since they probably ran the Indians out. But the only thing that's changed is the BLM laws, the laws of the federal government. I think it was it 93 or 99 when they changed their law to where now he had to start paying them to run the cattle on that. And that's, even back then he said no. Because he'd seen that they had been doing that, and they'd run all the other ranchers off, and so it's not something that just came up. It's just now come to a head. So, well, guys, the phone's ringing. If it's all right with you, we'll take a call. It's a little early in the program, but we'll sure do that. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, this is Edie in North Carolina.
Good morning.
How you all doing? I was listening to one of the shows yesterday about this thing going on in Nevada, and this son was saying, or one of his friends was saying, that the people that are in there that shouldn't be are digging up the pipelines for the water and hauling that off. So that's something you're not hearing. I know he's got the water rights, but this water situation, we've got drought all over the place. And then this thing when Bush, right before he got out of office, he bought all that, 1,000 acres down there in Paraguay that sits on the largest water aquifer in the world. Mm. So I think the water thing is the hidden agenda thing.
Good point.
Very possible.
Yeah, very, very possible, Edie.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Well, I know Jim McKinney wrote a good book on that, and I don't think he's picked up on that aspect of it, or I think it would have been on his show this week. But honestly, that seems to be, like the whole big to-do, I think, is about the water deal. And I'll let y'all go. I just wanted to put my 2 cents in there.
Thank you for that, Edie. You have a blessed week.
All right.
Thank you. Well, there's a second witness to that. Yeah, there is. There's certainly, it's not about the desert tortoise. You can bet your boots and throw in your spurs about that. it there's probably a multifaceted deal and between oil and water, and like you said, it's not that far from Vegas, and there's, because that's how our enemy
works.
Well,
and I know that according to the rules on that, if they don't continue to prove up and use those water rights and everything on that property, that this Bundy family,
they revert back. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, they revert back. So by taking the cattle, they've taken his ability to have need for the, you know, water rights. And then I guess I heard a little blurb here just last night that they'd gone in there and broke a bunch of the cattle tanks, the water tanks out there. Those water tanks were built in the 1800s by his family members. They've been there that long, and they went in and basically destroyed them. So,
wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah. So, water, well, there have been an awful lot of wars and battles and everything else fought down through the years over not enough water or too much water.
You know, the day's coming where water is going to be more valuable than oil if the droughts continue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you can live without oil, but you can't live without water.
No.
But one of the most interesting things, I think, that makes this different from any of these other major standoffs that have happened is Senator Dean Heller of Nevada told U.S. Bureau of Land Management Chief Cornsey in Washington, the law-abiding Nevadans shouldn't be penalized by an overreaching agency. And then a Republican governor, Brian Sandoval, basically said that the government was in the wrong, too. So I'm not sure that we've had high-ranking so-called government officials take a stand against the government's position in something like this. So I think
it's kind of separating, sifting some of them, huh?
Yeah.
Well, and I started doing a little checking into the whole land grab thing, like with the BLM, because I was like, is this something new or what? And I started finding out they're trying to seize several thousand acres in New Mexico right now, the BLM is. They're trying to seize 90,000 acres in Texas, the BLM is. There's some land grabs going on in Colorado right there by the BLM.
Well, they tried it by eminent domain first in a lot of these cases, and when that doesn't work, then they use other methods.
Well, and No, we talked about the EPA thing up there in Wyoming. I can't say the name of the town right off the top of my head, but two. So yeah.
Well, it's right over by Riverton.
Lots of
1.1 million
Riverton
acres.
Riverton and Lander.
Yeah, 1.1 million acres that the EPA says. You know, and they're more than happy to give it back to the Indians because, you know, they can deal with the Indians a lot better than they can with the state. They think they can anyway. And that's still, that's still up in the air. You know, that part is. And we've seen this, you know, we've seen this for the last 25 years, bits and pieces in the news. A lot of it back east, especially the Clean Waters Act that came through. When you mentioned that eminent domain, that's one thing the EPA has used a lot of to come in and incite the Clean Waters Act that I do believe was passed under a Republican administration. Like there's a dime's worth of difference between any of them, but our people need to remember that it's not, oh, good old Ronnie Reagan used to save us from all this evil. No, he had his hand in the Pope's back pocket, and the Pope had his hand in Ronnie's back pocket, and there wasn't a dime's worth of difference. Maybe in the tone of their skin between Mr. Reagan and what we have now. But a lot of these Clean Water Acts and the EPA grew immensely under those older Republican administrations. And they'd do that. They'd come into a farm or a ranch and, your cow poop is flowing down in the water. We've got to shut this operation down so the water stays clean. And then they just take a ranch or take a farm and the people are just left out high and dry. It's getting to be a day.
Well, and the other thing we're looking at here eventually is, like John was saying, you can't live without water, and you can't live without food either. And these strikes, it seems funny how a lot of these heavy industries just, you know, there's not too much about them, but they sure are after the they sure are after the food production or after the farmers and the ranchers and everything else. I know I just read this morning, I was doing a little quick reviewing, and the EPA's got up another big deal on cow flatulence.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Methane production. And they're talking on a normal dairy that that could add as much as $30,000 to $50,000 per year for a methane production tax. They're not, you know, they're not too interested in the whole methane thing. What they really get serious about is the money angle. They just want to make some money off of it. That makes the whole problem go away if you pay for it, you know.
Yeah.
So, that drives those people out of business, and that makes your food disappear too. So.
Yeah.
We're looking at some the Agenda 21 type, you know, population reduction and these sort of things that we see, and that's where it's striking at. I mean, is food, water, those sort of things. So
yeah, there's a picture in one of the stories here about that standoff, and it has a picture of the government has detonated hundreds of nuclear bombs in the Nevada desert, but they say Clive and Bundy's cattle could be harmful to the desert tortoise.
Yeah.
Talk about pictures saying it all.
And they wonder why the desert tortoise is endangered, you know, from 50 years of nuclear testing in its home habitat.
Well, and it's interesting that one of the best areas in the whole state for habitat for this tortoise, I mean, this is kind of a side note, but it just kind of strikes me, you know, that it's interesting that one of the areas that it seems to be doing the best, because that's the area they identify as the best habitat for this tortoise, happens to be where his cows are running around.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's what it is.
What
see,
makes
they,
them think?
Yeah, these left-wing liberals that tree-hugging Mother Earthers, you know, and that's the people that the BLM with these type things appeal to. You know, they did, you look at our forests out here in the West, and, you know, the BLM and these type people have had their run in our forests, and all our forests are dying. Because, you know, back in the 60s, they stopped you from being able to run cattle in there. You remember the stories Pastor used to talk about running cattle up at Grand Lake, you know, which is just basically a resort community now. With houses, but they used to, you know, the pastor used to talk about running cattle up there. I rode with him and Jim Lynch up there. We did a little filming, and Pastor preached a sermon on it called That Last Summer. And, you know, he talked about when he was a young man, they did that. They ran cattle all through the BLM and the forestry land, and when the cattle went through, they ate down some of the grass, but not all of it. They fertilized, they tramped down some of the small trees, and that was tied in with the logging that was going on at the time. And what that made was a healthy forest, because the trees were thinned out, there was manure spread around, you know, you didn't have the massive, tightly packed growth of trees. Well, in the 60s and getting into the 70s, they stopped you from being able to run cattle up there. And then it wasn't too long after that they stopped the logging, you know, and we remember the story of the spotted owl up in Oregon and Washington State, and how thousands of logging jobs were just done away with because we can't go in and log these forests. And so 20 years later, 30 years later, the forests are not healthy. You know, the trees have grown up so thick that the trees are stressed because there's not enough water for all of them. Then when you get this mountain pine beetle comes in, it attacks not only the 3% of the trees like it used to two generations ago, but 93% of the trees, because the trees are stressed and they're not healthy. And you see the waves of brown.
No, that's global warming.
You know? You see the waves of brown that are through the forests. And, you know, and it's not the mountain.
Tinderbugs.
It's not the mountain pine beetles.
Yeah, and then we have these big fires, don't we?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And you see the catastrophic type fires that we've had that have grown and grown that we haven't seen since the early 1900s. And it's because of that. It's because of these ungodly government offices going in and trying to fix something that ain't broke. And there's always an ulterior motive, whether it's to move the people off the land, you know, or to get the people off where they can go in and get the water rights, get the oil, the mineral rights. It is. And we've seen it. It's just that the people don't, you know, that they're not taught in school this. One of the, you know, I want to thank Betty.
Well, sustainability of any ecosystem or anything else is completely linked to godly stewardship.
Yes.
And that means a person, not a corporation, not a government. You know, I mean, when you're responsible before God as a steward, it changes your whole thrust and focus on how you're using that land and how you're occupying it.
Absolutely.
So,
These cattlemen of days gone by, they were good stewards of the land. They understood that. They understood you didn't just run them and run the land down. You know, you'd run your cattle through and then you'd move them on, you know, and you had to move them around the area. And the
Well, it depended on the next year or 5 years or 10 years or next generation surviving.
Yeah.
It does. It does.
Yeah,
and you know, God,
blessings, economic blessings there.
That's right. That's right. And God gave us this land to do that, to tend the garden. That's the job of Adam. One of the jobs and responsibilities. And you know, one way you tend the garden is if you run cattle that feed people, you know, that feed not only your family, but, you know, but many families. You know, if you do that, then you are tending the garden. You know, when you're running the cattle, whether it's on pastures or through the forest for a month or two, you're doing that. You're being a steward, a good steward of the land. But the EPA doesn't want that at all. That's not what they're concerned with. And, you know, the BLM has over 60% of the land in Idaho, 70% of the land in Utah, and about 76% of the land in Nevada. And
interesting to see when that took place, you know, the where they claimed it or transferred or whatever happened there. And one of the other things is they actually shut down an area around this guy's ranch, this half the size of Rhode Island, you know. And then to try to man that area, you know, we can't even stop illegal aliens from coming across the border, but we can block off, you know, half the size of Rhode Island. And then initially protesters who were for the Bundy family were basically herded into fenced in areas of protest.
Yeah, they call it a First Amendment area, you know.
Yeah, right outside of the resort city of Mesquite, which I don't know how far away that is, but it's quite a ways, I think.
Yeah, so if you want to exercise your First Amendment, go over here inside this fenced in area and you can exercise your First Amendment rights there.
I don't know about you, but if the government's trying to round me into a fenced-in area, I ain't going.
Well, they didn't go either, John. They walked around outside of it, and they did not go in it. And I think that's one thing the people are seeing down there. And it was mentioned earlier, the mainstream news not taking it, not covering this story. It's because the sheeple aren't minding. I saw one video, and I wanted to thank Betty in New Mexico. She's been on top of this and been sending a lot of articles and stuff out to us. So, Miss Betty, we say thank you for doing that and others. I know Doug back east has sent a lot in, and we do put our thanks out to you people sharing those things with us. We don't always have time to put a lot of research and stuff into this. It's springtime here at the ranch, and with the ranch and the ministry, there's tons going on. But I saw one video, and they had it was basically a BLM standoff, and you had about a dozen BLM people there with their tasers drawn and their dogs out barking and going after, you know, pregnant women and things like that. And the people basically stood their ground. There was yelling, but you know, all the people also were white, and they kind of maintained their composure. It didn't turn into a riot. The people were yelling. They were saying, "You're not supposed to be here. What you're doing is wrong. You need to leave." And that went on for about 5 or 6 minutes. And the BLM people got in their trucks and left. And, you know, I don't even call it a small victory, because that's really what it was. But the people did. They got the BLM people. They got in their trucks and they left. And you know, it's certainly not the end, but you know, it was better than the protesters leaving. And I think that the powers that be, the powers that think they be anyway, they're seeing that, and you know, the people here get fed up with things at times, and I think it was evident to see that those people that were protesting were fed up with what was going on down there. Now where it goes from there, you know, when there's 200 troops there with riot shields and beanbag guns and things like that, you know, we'll see. But it was good to see that the people stood up to that down there.
Well, and I just read a call out there asking for, you know, boots on the ground, people there to stand with them, and I read some of their what do you want to call it, rules for people coming, and they ask for, they've set up an area there, and they said some people can camp outside the place, and people can come. Please don't do interviews, refer any interviews with media to the family, and they ask that people not wear camo who show up either, because they were they didn't want to escalate it into some type of a military standoff necessarily, I suspect.
Right.
But you know, there's people coming in. I mean, there's people trickling in. I don't have any idea how many are there. I haven't heard anything like that.
They said somewhere around 1,000.
Is there? So that's interesting.
Yeah. But it's, you know, there's two good points there, really. They're not casting their pearls to the swine, and they're trying to be wise as serpents.
Yeah.
Not giving them any ideas to where they can, you know, turn and render them asunder.
Yeah, I think so too. And I seen that video you were talking about, Richard, and I that one young man there was shot about 3 times with tasers and pulled them out. I thought that was a pretty interesting thing, because you know, you see some of those taser hits and a lot of those guys go down, and he yanked them out and just stood
yep.
there. I mean,
yep.
he didn't
and they
run
tased
away.
Him. They said they tased him because he was kicking their dog. That's because they let their dog go to the end of the leash and get up on his leg. I'd have kicked the dog
yeah.
too. You know?
Yeah,
and,
no kidding. Yeah, you have a right to defend yourself from being eaten by a dog.
Right.
So,
so it's interesting.
It is interesting.
It's interesting times, and it's good to see the sheeple, you know, standing up to this unlawful law that's coming upon them. Well, guys, let's open up the phone lines. 307-745-5913. If you want to call in. And working on a second cup of coffee here, about halfway through this program, this Saturday morning.
I wonder if there's a way you could make some kind of metallic garment so that if you got tased, it would send the shock right back through to the. I bet you could.
Well, they make
it has to be a positive and a negative to complete
yeah.
the circuit.
On the leads, well, they do have like a. I don't know if it's Mylar or what it's made out of, but they do have a T-shirt that you can wear that, when you wear that, it defeats the taser.
Yeah.
So,
that's good to know.
Yeah. Well, guys, yeah. the phone lines
are
ringing. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, this is Edie again. I'm sorry to keep bugging y'all, but I just thought of 3 more things. They had a Nestle, like N-E-S-T-L-E-S, Nestle makes the very best. Tanker up at one of the Great Lakes, and they were drawing off tanker full of the water and supposedly sending them and selling them to China. The second thing was in Branson about 10 years ago. I was looking at some property there, and the girl that was from California that owned it, and they had been setting it up, you know, like with a trailer with goods and dug them a deep water well and everything, and the county or state, feds, whatever, they come in there and put a meter on it. And they decided they didn't want that property anymore. And if you told me that, I didn't either. But at that time, they put a meter on it, but they were not charging for the water to use, but they were coming to that. So I don't know if that's gone through or not. And the other thing is around here, anybody that's put in a well, they wanted to do a census on it and send some government people in to just so-called check, you know, the safety of the water, blah, blah, blah. And I think that's just all a precedent for what is coming on this water situation.
Yeah. Edie, I think you're absolutely right. They're not only sending tractor-trailer tankers full of water out of the Great Lakes. I've seen things that a lot of those, the big container ships.
Super tankers.
The big container ships that come over here slam full of cheap China goods, they call them, but they're not good. They go back with water from the Great Lakes to feed and to water the Chinese masses. So, yeah, that's certainly. Well, we'll try to get these other phone lines going. Thank you, Edie. All right.
Y'all take care. Bye.
And we'll go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Wranglers.
Good morning.
This is Russell out in West Texas, and I know something about the desert.
What do you know about the desert,
yeah,
Russell?
Do. Water is king.
Water is king.
I have a question. Who owns the land this dispute is about?
They say it's BLM.
So the government owns the land?
Yeah, they call it BLM land. You know, the people have been on it forever, but it's controlled by the BLM, and they claim ownership.
Okay, well, I'm confused because I can't claim I own my place without going down there and doing all their stupid rules.
Yeah.
So somebody has a phony deed to the land. Are you saying the government is the ones that own it?
I think that's what they say. Yes.
And Mr. Bundy, I heard him talk, and he didn't dispute that. He said that he had the right to graze his cattle, is what I understood. But I don't recall him ever saying that.
What my right. I think the big deal is there's the federal government is claiming state land, you know. The jurisdiction is state jurisdiction, and it's federal laws that they're trying to say that he's breaking, and he's saying he's not breaking federal law because it's a state jurisdiction. And if the sheriff had any balls, he'd be in there just standing strong against the whole thing because he has the power to shut it down.
I was just going to say, where is his state? Isn't this guy Mormon? Why didn't he pray to whatever the Mormons pray to for help? Who is the God of the Mormons?
That's an interesting point.
Yeah, good question. I heard he mentioned the deity in one of those interviews. The deity. Now, you know what that deity is? I don't know. You know, I've got a son-in-law that came out of the Mormon faith, and he said they don't worship Jesus Christ. So,
well, aren't we coming in close on that infamous April 15th date?
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. And always something major happens.
Doesn't the dark side love a good sacrifice right around this time of the year?
They do, the 15th, the 19th, which is next Saturday, you know. It's only when the Revolutionary War began in 1775. So it's getting close to that.
Let me throw a couple of issues real quickly that affect the three or four of us even more so than Mr. Bundy's cattle situation. This idiotic health care law thing, that's where we should be up in arms is one thing, but that affects us. And then this other thing is this passage of this new bill that says if you're in a house that was built before 1978, because of potential lead poison issues, they have jurisdiction over your house. And if you want to go fix and work on your house, you have to get a permit to have the lead analysis done. And all this is just phony, baloney land grab. It's no different than what the Comanches would do to take your kid and cut a deal to get it back. None of this is new. It's spiritual warfare, isn't it, John?
Absolutely.
No, right.
We just got to say no.
Let's pray against the bastard.
Yep.
That's our weapon.
Well, you know, I wonder, though, if you are properly baptized, you've been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, if they can do these kind of things to you. I really do wonder. You know
what
I'm saying?
That's a great point.
Because you're taking yourself out of man's jurisdiction, and you put yourself in God's jurisdiction.
Amen, brother. Well, I pray that God's will be done with Mr. Bundy, and I don't know what that will is, but God does.
Amen.
That's how I pray, too.
Thanks for the time, and appreciate you giving me the opportunity to vent. And a closing note, you think they'd ever find a Australian screw worm down in Malibu that would run some of those hideous movie stars off their land? Or how about a fat special rat in Manhattan that would make them close down some of those bank buildings? You think that would ever happen? Ever? No way.
It's going to happen one day, Russell. It's going to happen one day. It's just not going to be them shutting them
down. Yeah, I read about it in Revelation.
Yeah, they're going to be shut down.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
See y'all later.
Thank you, Russell.
Bye.
And the phones are still ringing. Oh, we'll try another one here. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, Richard. This is me.
Good morning, me.
Hey. I got a little thing that it's kind of occurred to me within the last week or so. Back in the late 80s and early 90s, I was pretty much into the gun debate and member of a number of organizations, and I even subscribed to some, what do you call, underground publications and the Spotlight newspaper. Remember that?
Sure.
And that was pretty much censored at that time. But with the advent of 24-hour, because back then a lot of your TV stations, at least in the East, a lot of the TV stations were off about midnight, and they didn't come on until morning. Radio stations, some of them actually stayed on 100%. But now you get 24-hour news, 24-hour internet. The so-called outlaw news or the alternative news, it's no longer alternative. It's there for everybody to digest. And it's the same thing. Nobody is doing a darn thing about the politicians and the bankers and et cetera. Of course, I'm talking on a temporal level. Well, we since 1999, my awakening, spiritually, you know, if you understand what I'm saying.
Sure.
It came to me a lot easier, although I was a cryptic Catholic back then. It took me a while for me to shuck that, get that out of my life. It was a lot easier because my father had passed away, and he would have keeled over if he ever heard what I started to embrace. Be that as it may, with all this mushrooming of alternative thought and so forth, it's still the same thing, and it's like the previous caller. It's a spiritual thing, and I think our minds have been taken over collectively, it's amazing to me that with all the new information, not new information, but more of it, much more of it, it's like exponential. It's still, people are so, it's so difficult to reach them.
Right. Yeah, it is. Oh. It is. And it's that spiritual battle.
Yeah. It's a spell that's been tied, you know. It's been tied around everybody's necks. It's like, everybody's being herded in and being taught to think. And the people who do have a collective memory, you know, they've had this, you know, this, call it folklore, call it homespun wisdom, call it wives' tales.
Right.
Much of that is true.
Yeah. Well, it lets you know that it's that just having that, being able to see what's going on out there doesn't fix the problem. It's truly just repentance that does that. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, Joe, thanks for the call. We'll try to get this other caller on.
Okay.
Thanks so much. And one more caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard, John, and Tim. Just want to let you know.
Good morning.
Just let you know I'm
enjoying the program. I got your newsletter yesterday and read it from cover to cover. It's very good. As the theme of the program has been this morning, it seems to be a lot on what they are doing. And everybody, I assume that most everybody that listens in knows who they are, but, you know, we just have to trust on God and lean not onto our own understanding and, you know, just work in His power and might, and we go from there. But I'm with you all the way, and I'm looking into getting baptized here. I feel like it's the Lord's will in my life. I feel like I've been pricked here lately. So if you would, you know, keep me in your prayers on that, that the Lord will lead me in the right direction.
We'll do that, Caleb.
All right, thanks. You guys have a good day.
Thanks. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
John, if you and Tim will take it, let me step away from the microphone for just a minute, and I'll be back in just a minute. Go ahead, guys.
Okay.
Well, and I'd just say in regards to what Joe was saying, and really even kind of ties in with what Caleb was saying, is I think, you know, God's called the remnant out, and I think we look around us, and we got the deals going on in Connecticut and New York, and the deal going on here in these land grabs out west and a lot of other stuff. But, you know, like Peter used to say, to have a miracle moment or a Red Sea moment, I mean, I think we're kind of starting to look at some of that stuff. Don't you, John? I mean...
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know?
But the thing you don't see is you don't see him calling upon Jesus Christ to save him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if you look at the situation that we went through here at the local church, that's all that Dad did.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, he sat down with that sheriff there in town, and there was a standoff coming, you know.
Yep.
And he said, "You, if the times come in this country when I can't preach the gospel, then so be it," you know. And he said, the sheriff said he loved his men, and Dad said, "I love my men. May the best God win." And I think it put fear into that that sheriff, and he gave him the keys.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, when we that foundation, that rock of the foundation is what you've got to stand on, and that's the power of Jesus Christ. And it wins. I mean,
"Well, upon this rock I will build my church," Peter said, "and the forces of hell shall not prevail." That scripture in Matthew fits this church better than anyone.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it goes back to what you said earlier about being bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. You know, when
yep.
when you're baptized and you're bought and paid for, you're under a different jurisdiction. You know, it's like, well, that's not my jurisdiction. So, which is part of the reason I know we're always kind of hesitant about the whole constitutional issues and all that kind of stuff, because it's like, well, do those things line up with God's, you know, with God's way of doing things and God's stewardship and the power of our Lord and Savior? And we want to make sure that we're in that covering, you know, and we don't want to claim an authority that's outside of God's power. We want God's power. So,
amen.
I think, and as
well,
far as, go ahead.
What I'm planning on bringing tomorrow, I think, relates to a lot of what we've been talking about today. And as I sat down to try to put something together, it just flowed, and fingers were typing. And so I'd like to believe that it was inspiration.
I'm sure, yeah, it was. God, it's wonderful when a guy sits down and it just starts working. You know, it's like, oh, thank you, Lord. Because I know that's like we do have these blood moons coming up and everything else. I found out, I've been doing a little bit of research on those, and one of the things that's interesting is a lot of these Judeo-Christian organizations, they talk about, oh, how it benefits you know, the little sandbox country, Israel, over there, and this and that, and then you start finding out it's not exactly that way. So, and there's also, I guess, going to be a solar eclipse in between this one and the next one, which was interesting, too. I didn't know that. So,
yeah.
We're kind of...
And there's supposed to be four blood moons, right?
Exactly. A tetrad, they call it. Yeah, and it's four. Mm. It's a series of four blood moons, but...
How often does that happen?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It hasn't happened since, as far as the tetrad goes, it's been over, you know, four or five centuries, and then you mix that in with the fact that, as near as I can find out, according to their, you know, astronomy calculations, it will probably never happen again.
Wow.
So, you know, you're dealing with some, and, you know, I don't want to put too fine a point on the end days and on Joel and on some of the scripture verses there as far as it being prophetically the end time or a sign of the end time. But the one thing the one thing I would put a fine point on is that the Lord says that he'll save whoever calls upon him.
Yes.
You know?
And right. He does.
It's like... even in those times. So we're still looking at, he said, there will be those who escape, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. That's Joel 2:32 there. But when you look at that, that puts you back into that jurisdiction you were talking about.
Yeah. Well, we were sold for nothing. We'll be redeemed without money.
Amen.
And that's all our enemies understand is the whole monetary issue. It's all about... I was listening to one of those videos, I think it's the same one Richard was talking about, and one of the women asked those BLM guys when she was standing there facing him, she goes, "What good is money to you?" You know, so... I don't know how... You know, I don't know their belief system or anything else, but... maybe the Lord.
But there was a day. There was a day in America where Americans wouldn't do what they're doing to other Americans.
No,
it wasn't whores galore in America. It wasn't. I'm just doing my job.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we got time for maybe one more caller. We'll try to take this, and we'll try to finish up with the song today. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, I just want to add a little footnote to what the previous caller was saying. Yeah, these blood moons, this nut job John Hagee, if you put John Hagee blood moons into your internet, I mean, he's predicting all kinds of, this is Armageddon he's predicting. So, yeah, check that out. He's an Israel lover, and he thinks the world's going to explode and Israel's going to emerge, triumph, all this stuff, so. John Hagee, blood moons, and enjoy yourself.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Okay.
Well, we do have a...
That blood moon stuff's tied into witchcraft, too. Pretty heavy, isn't it, Tim?
It is.
There is a lot of... Yeah, there's a lot of...
Like a high holy day for them.
Yep. It is. And one of the things that interested me was that the Bible talks about the righteous blood crying out from the earth, you know, and that moon's a reflection of... the light source that it sees, and basically the blood moon's caused when the sun's behind the earth and the light's coming around the edge of the earth and reflecting off of the moon, and it's going to reflect red. And I was like, you know, that's that kind of makes a case for the blood on the earth crying out. I mean, it's like a big sign in the sky.
Amen.
And yep, there's a lot of righteous blood that's been spilled.
Well, guys, we got Brother Chris sent us in a song and finally got it downloaded. Hopefully it's going to play on the CD here. But we wanted to go out with that, and it's called Liberty. And so I think we'll go out with that today. We do want to invite you to church tomorrow, 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. You can join us at scriptures4america.org right here, and also right here on the shortwave, the same frequency, just a little bit later in the morning. And so we do invite you to come and join us there. And be getting ready for Branson. The newsletters are out. Branson is on the schedule. We hope you can join us there. There's information in the newsletter, and we've mailed that out. It's also at our website, scriptures4america.org. Hope you enjoy this song, and men, We'll talk to you at church tomorrow.
Heart is heavy for these words I must pen, as the America of my fathers ended in sin. I must shout out this warning, our nation is lost. If Christians don't stand now, turn to the cross. So when it's taken my liberty worth losing your life, it's taken my gun worth widowing your wife. Will children be fathers? Will your mom and dad weep because you violated the land of the free? Liberty's not a parchment in a museum, not words on a plaque for people just to read them. It's on the hearts where Jesus Christ lives, in a nation founded by a promise of peace. Your numbers are greater, your weapons pronounced. You spy all our airwaves, new laws you write down. But God's law is written on some of our hearts. The battle is His if you're ready to start. Homeland Security, military in the streets, United Nations, TSA, New World Order dreams. The colonists of America would turn in their graves for the liberty you've lost from the lives they gave. They didn't fight, so I'd have to carry your ID so you could set up roadblocks or zones for my speech. Nor for our men to die in ungodly wars, nor your thousands of laws for the Babylon whore. Your government's corrupt from the top to the bottom. Democrat or Republican, at the core they're all rotten. Sin in America has brought it all along, but it's time to decide which side you'll be on. When it's taken my liberty worth losing your life, it's taken my gun worth widowing your wife. You may try to starve us or bring on a plague, but I'll stand with the King and the promise He made. Preachers preach falsely, Romans 13. Real men in most churches would never be seen. Repent of your sin and pray for God's truth, for godly men to rise up to fight for you. Their media will inject their poison and lies. They hate all of those that love Jesus Christ. You've honored the wicked and the evil you've blessed. Now, America, your sins have come home to rest. Open your eyes and clean out your ears. Look at this nation for the truth as to hear. The Antichrist have taken control. Will you lose your nation? Will you lose your soul? Will they tell you to take my liberty? Big government is right. Will they say, take my gun, if need be, my life? Repent and draw near to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your soul can be saved as well as your life. If it's all right for granddad the socialist to fight, and our dads and our uncles killing communists was right, I don't reckon it matters which land they stand on. Here or abroad, if it's wrong, then it's wrong. Consider your orders, you say you're just doing your job. There's a line that I pray that you never cross. I'll shout like King David, the battle's the Lord's. One stone's all I need to take your head and your sword. I win either way if I stand for what's right. You can't kill me, for the Lord has my life. Before you come against this temple of His, you'd better consider where eternity you'll live. When it's taken my liberty worth losing your life, it's taken my gun worth widowing your wife. Will your children be fatherless? Will your mom and dad weep because you violated the land of the free? Liberty's not a parchment in a museum, not words on a plaque for people just to read them. It's on the heart where Jesus Christ lives, in a nation founded by promise of His. You create new agencies to enact all your laws. You stamp out the truth to watch America fall. just doing my job won't be a defense. You better decide while you've time to repent. Because God's law still written on some of our hearts. The battle is His if you're ready to start. It doesn't have to happen if you turn to the Lord. He'll restore our nation to greatness once more. 'Cause I don't want to see you lose your life. I don't want to see your widowed wife. I want your children to be happy and play in the streets, in a land serving Jesus in peace.
Snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.